For 91.3 WUKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. We live in a very mobile society, and one of the concerns for most travelers is the potential of illness while traveling. My guest today has done research into the transmission of disease through vectors, that is, insects such as mosquitoes, versus transmission through human beings themselves. I'm speaking today with Dr. Michael Johansson, biologist at the Division of Vector-Borne Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and a visiting scientist at the Harvard School of Public Health. I caught up with him via Skype as he's traveling through the United Kingdom.
There's long been questions about how how vector-borne diseases such as malaria and dengue spread on a global scale, and concern about how that might happen via aircraft in particular, and via insects that are on aircraft. So there's long been regulations or recommendations on preventing mosquitoes in particular, from being present on airplanes where they could arrive in locations distant from where they were native. The reasons behind that are multiple. So this is also like an agricultural concern for a number of agricultural pests, but it's really the introduction of insect species to a new location. Another concern is that if there are mosquitoes in particular that are introduced to a distant location, those mosquitoes might be infected with a human pathogen, which would also lead to the introduction of that pathogen. So that was the specific part that we were interested and focused it on. So we know that pathogens can be introduced in different ways to new places. One is via infected humans, and if it's a vector-borne pathogen, it could also be introduced via an infected vector. In our case, mosquitoes are the ones we're primarily concerned about that would be introduced via transit on an airplane. So what we want to do is look at those two things and compare them and see if there was really, you know, get sort of an estimate of what the difference in risk between those two possibilities of introduction was.
And what findings did you have, and were they a surprise to you?
Yeah, so we had a sense going into this of what that difference would be, in that humans would be much more likely to transmit, to be able to carry the pathogen internationally than the vectors, for several reasons. One, it's that mosquitoes are not super common on airplanes, while people are quite common on airplanes. And we also knew something about the infection dynamics. But, you know, having that sort of intuition on it is not the same as actually going through it and looking at what those probabilities are. So we set out to build a model that could represent the various steps in the process, and actual numbers about those steps so that we could really define what those differences were. And in fact, we did find that there was a large difference. So our estimate was that dengue was about 200 times more likely to be carried internationally via humans on airplanes rather than mosquitoes on airplanes. And that Plasmodium falciparum, the pathogen that causes malaria, was more than 1,000 times more likely to do that. So it was surprising to us the magnitude of those differences, and that they're very different pathogen systems. So there's some key differences between them, but even in both of those, which are a protozoan versus a virus and different transmission cycles, there was still this consistent difference that it was much more likely to be carried by a human than a mosquito. And I think that what was surprising to us was the magnitude, and that it was really like the magnitude was clearly different in both species.
My guest today is Dr. Michael Johansson of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and we're talking about insect-borne diseases and human-borne diseases. So I guess, Michael, what we're talking about then is, as opposed to a flight coming back to the U.S. and a mosquito flying out of the cabin and infecting someone with malaria or with dengue fever, it's more likely that a passenger may come from that area where the disease is endemic and perhaps get bitten by a domestic mosquito, if you will, back here in the States, and then transfer of that disease would happen in that fashion?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct. And that's not to say that either of those is impossible or actually likely to happen. It's very sort of situation dependent. But if you're given those two possibilities, the introduction by the human is much more likely to happen. So if you do have a plane coming from a place where there's transmission of a given vector-borne pathogen happening, the humans on that plane are more likely vector of spread to the U.S. or whatever location you're ending in, then the mosquito that might be incidentally traveling on that plane as well.
One of the things we talk about here, I'm on the faculty of the College of Medicine here at the University of Kentucky, and we talk about translational research and bench to bedside, that type of thing. Are there any thoughts amongst you and your group about practical ways that this information of your study can be put into practice as far as prevention of potential disease down the road?
Yes, I mean, that's a big driver of a lot of what CDC does as well. And I think this is, you know, this is translational in a way, in that we are taking modeling tools and looking at a very applied problem and sort of using that tool to look at this applied problem to make clear some of the key factors that we need to be considering. And in this case, it's specifically related to policy and international policy about how regulations for disinfecting aircraft and the reasons that you might do that or might not do that. So there's, you know, the reason we did this study was because of those direct policy implications, and that's, you know, that's sort of where we see that going.
And Michael, you yourself, you know, as part of your work, are a traveler, you know, Harvard, Puerto Rico, so Boston to Puerto Rico. You're in temperate climates. You're in tropical and subtropical climates. Do you have any advice for the average traveler, just precautions they might take or things that they should know about before they travel?
Yeah, so when, you know, I work focused really on vector-borne diseases, and there are clear ways to help reduce your risk of being infected by vector-borne diseases when you're in areas where there's risk of those. So one is, you know, being aware of whether those are happening or not. And there's often CDC travel guidance that can be used for that as well as other sources. And then when there is those risks, avoiding mosquitoes. So there's a lot of ways to avoid mosquitoes. You can wear pants and long sleeve shirts. You can use repellent. Those things aren't always comfortable when you're in a tropical environment, but they can really help reduce your exposure to mosquitoes that might be infected. There's also, for some diseases, there's vaccination. And also just being careful about, you know, if you're sick when you return from travel, to seek care and get treatment should you be infected with something.
And Michael, is there anything I've neglected to ask you about that you would want our listeners to know?
No, I think, you know, we did this study to get at this policy question, and I think it's a, you know, it's an instance where we've been able to sort of apply some mathematical modeling to come at this an answer in a sort of semi-hypothetical situation, but one that we can't actually measure very well in real time. And so we've seen in the past that we have hundreds, if not thousands, of people arriving in temperate areas with vector-borne disease and infections with vector-borne pathogens. And on occasion, we see these other cases that may be related to a traveling mosquito, but really trying to like get at the difference of those. You know, this was a use of mathematical modeling that gave us a very clear answer that I think is very real policy implications that will hopefully influence the way that we do this in the future.
My thanks today to Dr. Michael Johansson of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for talking with us about vector-borne diseases. You can visit our website for more information at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.